Hello and welcome to episode We just said this. 259. Yeah. 7 times 37. That's what it was.
And the second crippled system since the firing of Mike McCarthy, which the Green Bay Packers are undefeated.
Yeah. Yeah. In general, the Packers are better without McCarthy because I think we had a better record before him than we had with him. And we have a better record after him than we had with him.
We also broke a Brady record today.
He was still 135 or like 135 or 140 some wins to 80 losses.
Yeah, he had like a 60% win, which, you know.
I mean, it was still pretty good for, yeah. I mean, he's like second to Curly Lambeau in the amount of home wins.
What was his playoff record like?
What's our playoff record?
In general, his record was certainly not bad for an NFL coach. But when you look at the talent he had over that time, it was unexciting to say the most.
Yeah, it's not how good or bad he was; it was how good or bad we could, and our potential could have been.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, I mean as I said before, it is remarkable that Green Bay replaced a first ballot Hall of Fame quarterback with another first ballot Hall of Fame quarterback
who just broke one of Tom Brady's records, consecutive pass attempts without an interception.
Uh-huh. Who did that?
Rodgers did today.
Oh, did he? Yep. Nice.
As opposed to the Favre record, which was the most consecutive interception attempts without a pass record.
You know what else broke today? Or broke Tom Brady today? The Miami Dolphins. Oh, my God. Yeah, the two lateral. And you can see the guy going for the third lateral, and he's like, I'll just run 40 yards and get a touchdown instead. But he had his hand out. He's just like, come on, I want to throw to somebody. This is fun. This is the game we're playing.
And I am Andy.
I'm Dan.
So do we have any announcements?
Time's running out to register your team for the America's Team Championship. Closes less than a week after this hits the air, I believe.
Friday.
Yeah, this coming Friday. So still got a couple slots up. I would need to double check the exact count we're at, but I know that we've had several registrations. That's a word, several registrations since the most recent podcast. But there's still a couple slots left, so if you have a team you want in, now's the time to get in there.
I should check to see if my team is registered, because I'm delegating that this year.
You should check to see if your team is registered. Yeah, so that's the biggest announcement.
Shit, I got to work on jerseys for my team this week.
Yeah, I know War Machine Weekend yesterday or today put out the thing about signing up to be part of like the whole Invitational Series. Yep. Was that yesterday or today?
Well, I mean, you're talking about putting out the post on that?
I think that was like a week ago.
Yeah,
was it? Did I just not see it until yesterday?
Yeah, I didn't see it until yesterday.
Yeah, maybe they bumped it.
We are explicitly being a lot more having higher standards for invitational qualifiers, and specifically, I mean, in the past, War Machine Weekend has allowed events with not exactly standard rules, but that's getting changed this year, so that you will have to have a basically Masters format or something very
basically
close
you're
to,
using. It looks very similar to the Iron Gauntlet rules, so Masters or Champions events.
Yeah.
So.
We're trying to get events that'll be a little larger because there was kind of the low end. The last couple of years were a little lower than we'd like.
So. Yeah, I mean, there's always. I mean, in the past, I know of people who have specifically shopped low events to sneak in. So.
Yep.
Cool.
Otherwise, it's the quiet period otherwise. So,
yep.
Well, there's Adepticon. You can always sign up for Who's the Boss for Adepticon.
That's true.
That's coming out. And if for some odd reason you play Guild Ball, you can always sign up for Build-A-Guild, which is on Sunday at Adepticon. So,
see, my problem is I never want to sign up for anything on Sunday on Adepticon because by that point I may be at the point where I just no longer like people. And, you know, there's enough stuff also that enough other people who are either no longer liking people or just too hungover, so you can almost always walk into something on Sunday, yeah. And that gives you options. I know as an event organizer, that doesn't help you at all, but.
And Adepticon is just at the point that there are just so many damn people there.
I will say their sign-up was better this year than it has been in years past.
Yeah.
Rather than implicitly giving everyone a queue by having the server crash repeatedly. They just explicitly stuck everyone in a queue, which was at least more tolerable because you knew what was going on as opposed to playing server roulette.
Yeah, I suppose I should actually sign up for that, mm-hmm. because I wasn't in a hurry because I missed the swag bag, but because I was like at lunch and said, oh, Adepticon registration is open, and I went home and registered and the swag bags were already out. So.
Yeah.
They have space problems. That is, or yeah. size problems, I think. They're the next Gen Con, where yeah. this year, actually, it took a while to convince myself to even go. It's just, this might be the last year. It's just getting too big. It's too much hassle.
Adepticon?
Yeah.
I mean, I just don't sign up for it, and I just show up and hang out with people and just don't do events or anything.
Well, my other problem is it's getting more and more expensive, and it really was, do I go to Adepticon or do I go to two other events in the spring instead?
Sure.
For both time off requirements and money requirements, I think I could do MuseCon and something else for the same amount of time off and money.
Yeah, I haven't done MuseCon yet. I need to make that trip sometime. Now that weekends are a thing that I actually have off and I can actually do these things.
Are they having a team event there this year or not?
I don't know. They've announced it's Memorial Day weekend, and that's all they've really announced so far.
They've announced it. Yep. That's about it.
Yep.
It's Memorial Day weekend.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well,
does that make you sad for some reason?
I guess at least they're biting the bullet this year and actually putting it on Memorial Day weekend rather than previously where they were just like a weekend off of it. So
I mean, they've gotten slightly better. The first year was Mother's Day.
Yeah.
Which was just awkward. Then last year was the weekend before Memorial Day, which means they still got clobbered by Memorial Day.
Yeah.
So
Dan, did you answer Travis's question from the chat?
Travis was asking, I think Nick is my captain, but...
Do you know what your team's name is supposed to be?
No.
Okay.
Probably something Quimby related.
Quimby is not on my team.
Oh. That doesn't mean you can't name your team something Quimby related.
I know we were talking about Fuck Steve 2. This time we mean it, but...
Well, with that information, Travis, could you please check and see if he's signed up?
or is there a Fuck Epic Steve then? So you say... Steve 2 as in
I've been kind of
Steve fucking yeah. Steve
I've been kind of tuning in and out of that one.
P Steve.
All right, there you go. Davis has registered, no Nick team that he's aware of.
All right,
so get on that.
Pretty much
Tonto, jump on it.
No,
that was bad and you should
fail.
Yeah, but it's in your head now.
No, it isn't.
Really?
I actually don't know what that reference is.
Yeah, what the fuck?
I'm happy.
I know the song, but it's not stuck in my head.
Yeah. I'm happy to have missed this reference.
Yeah, I don't get this one either.
You know the song. Fuck you. I'm getting the song. Yes, you do, Davis.
No, don't.
David we'll get knows the
demonetized.
Song.
we're not monetized anyway, but I don't want a copyright strike. We could talk about some cool things that happened. You know, like a company actually forecasting its future rather than telling us it'll be here next week.
Yeah.
What?
I'm trying to think if there's a good Fallout 76 joke in here.
Oh, no.
Fallout 76 is enough of a Fallout 76 joke.
Yeah.
I mean, it is. I'm just making one of my coworkers sad by going, hey, remember how you like Elder Scrolls? Don't get your hopes up. They just had a GDPR violation.
Yeah. All over the canvas bag.
Yeah. No, this one was the really bad one. Oh, yeah, it is the canvas bag one.
Yeah, because they had
random people in their support.
Yeah,
portal.
I know.
Oh, yeah.
So first the game launched and it crashed constantly so you couldn't play it. Then they fixed the crashes so you were unfortunately able to play a terrible game. Then you were false advertised to and got a plastic bag instead of a canvas bag with your special edition that you paid $200 for. Then it turned out that people who reviewed the game got free canvas bags. So the canvas bags existed, you just didn't get them.
You missed one step there.
You
missed one step there.
Not yet. No, well, it's in there. I'm getting that step. The people who got the plastic bags instead of the canvas bags that they should have gotten that actually paid for it as opposed to being a reviewer were given $5 worth of fake money, which isn't even enough to buy the fake version of the canvas bag in the internet game because that costs $7 in fake money. Then, once people started to threaten to sue, they told them, fine, we'll give you your goddamn canvas bag, just send us your information, which they promptly leaked to random people. Then they did their patch, and without telling anybody, and while refusing to release any patch notes, made the game grindier and reduced the amount of XP and loot that you get from enemies.
What?
Uh-huh. Yeah, they did. They did a Destiny 2 Bungie where they made the game grindier without telling anybody and refused to release the patch notes explaining what happened.
So we're up to 8.
What?
Yeah, yeah. December 7th patch decreases spawn rate of legendaries and the legendary item drops. It decreases the XP you get. They straight up made the game grindier during that patch without telling anybody, because they have here's what we're gonna do surface patch notes that sure as fuck doesn't mention that. And then as far as detailed post patch notes, they refuse to release those.
I'm eagerly awaiting the first DLC for this game of Fallout 76 actually getting kicked in the junk.
The first DLC of this game is the Outer Worlds, and I look forward to buying it. What perfect fucking timing for Obsidian.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I'm so glad Andy posted that on my Facebook wall.
They don't even have to try at this point.
They don't. They just say, hey, look, here's a game that,
I mean, on that note, Path of Exile has gotten more player base than ever.
Yeah.
From all the people angry at Blizzard, who everyone has forgotten about because Fallout 76 is that bad.
Yeah.
They do mention a lot of stuff in it.
In what?
In the patch notes.
Their patch notes.
Oh, yeah, they have a lot of stuff. They just forgot the across-the-board stealth nerf to items and spawn rates.
So the patch notes you're looking at are the patch notes from before the patch where they talked about the stuff they were going to do, and then the actual full everything that they did do, which includes the nerfs, they won't release. Hmm. Yeah.
So Fallout 76 is online only, isn't it?
Correct.
Yeah, it's a lightweight MMO.
It's MMO. It's flat out an MMO.
Yeah.
But not the massive.
An MMO.
And not as much multiplayer.
I mean, don't you need an NPCs from an MMO as well?
Correct. It's an MMO without NPCs or quest givers or merchants that.
They tried that. It was Asheron's Call 2, and it lasted a month after it went out of beta. Yeah, well, it was hilarious.
This one's got 2 more weeks.
I was watching a streamer. Just basically they were talking about how disheartening it is to go through the game itself, and because you're going through there with no NPCs, but then you're getting voice things or distress signals from places saying come and save us, but why would I go to that place if I know that there's no NPCs in this game?
Correct.
There's no reason for me to go over and check out that distress beacon.
I mean, that's not true. Someone's waiting to grief new players.
Yeah, well, griefing new players involves because
isn't it kind of redundant if you've already bought the game?
Yeah, but griefing the PvP aspect in this game, so you can shoot at anybody you want, and then if they shoot back at you, then that kind of forms that contract, and then you go into PvP mode. If that person never responds, you just chip away at their health. It does significantly reduce damage, but they could just sit there and just keep on shooting you and bugging you forever until you die. So it's
and you either shoot back and then they do significantly more damage, or you don't shoot back and eventually 1,000 paper cuts gets you.
Yeah, yeah.
And the whole time they're calling you a faggot.
Yeah, or whatever it is. Yeah.
Although those guys got banned, at least the one good thing that Bethesda did was ban those guys.
Yeah, they had a big super ban for that. But it's, I mean, that's worse than.
It sounds like a giant pile of disdain for their player base.
Just people just poking you forever until you die, and then wait till you respawn.
I was going to say that sounds like having children.
That is having children.
But that's how the game is built. The game is built so if there's PvP.
But I'm already paying to have had a child. Why would I pay again?
Yeah. It's just. There's nothing was thought out.
Just about nothing every single game that showed up for the trailers at the Game Awards was a better game than Fallout 76.
Here's post-apocalyptic first-person shooters that don't blow all of the ass and leak your data.
That we started 20 minutes ago.
Yeah.
It'll be better.
Oh, man, no. The 15-minute gameplay trailer of... the actual trailer was good enough, but the 15-minute gameplay video of Outer Worlds made me very excited. There's a lot of really cool stuff in that game. A lot of neat ideas.
But are there any random dead babies? Or possibly dead babies?
I don't know.
It's not Death Stranding.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, a spare baby. Yeah, I mean, Death Stranding, you got to keep your spare baby in your back pocket in case you get hyper-aged.
I can't wait.
Yeah. Death Stranding is such a fucking weird ass game.
It's perfect.
Yes. Yeah. If you've played Deadly Premonition, right?
I have not played that one. I will add that to the list.
Do you know of it?
I have not.
You know Twin Peaks?
I'm familiar with it.
It's if Twin Peaks was a game.
Okay.
So it's kind of it's like a third person like walk around explore-y thing, kind of like a Resident Evil or a Silent Hill. Mm-hmm. But you're a detective in this town, like trying to solve a murder mystery. And for example, one of the big famous dramatic scenes is when you're in a diner and the local rich guy who always wears a gas mask and never talks and has his handler who talks for him but only speaks in rhyme comes in and they order a turkey and strawberry jam sandwich, which you as the main character describe as the sinner's sandwich, because only someone who's sinned much in their life would eat such a bad sandwich to make up for these terrible crimes.
Are you sure it's not jam, but cranberry? Because the turkey and cranberry
sandwich is... No, it's strawberry. It's turkey and strawberry. And so you describe it as the sinner's sandwich, which, you know, someone who led a bad life would eat a sandwich like this to atone for their sins. And then they basically browbeat the main character into eating it himself in a very dramatic scene. And this is the kind of game you have.
Okay.
It is Twin Peaks the game. It's fucking amazing.
Speaking of games, does anybody want to buy my copy of Super Smash Bros. Ultimate?
Potentially.
Because it's a really good game. It's getting really good reviews out there. It's not for me.
It's turkey, strawberry jam, and breakfast cereal.
What's the name of it?
Deadly Premonition. Turkey, strawberry jam, and breakfast cereal.
Only $25, huh?
Oh, yeah. Huh? And it's on a lot of platforms. It's actually, like check the reviews. They're probably, actually, the reviews might be mixed because it's so fucking weird that some people hate it.
And by some, you mean everyone.
Correct.
I mean, just asking me to put my birthday in, that can't be a bad thing. We'll say I was born in 82.
Yeah.
So what I was getting at before we jumped off onto the fall at 76, though, was the fact that Privateer actually posted their 2019 kind of
hype
overview for what they're doing. Pretty much in the face of everybody who's like, yeah, Privateer's done selling, blah, blah, blah.
I continue to know nothing Gary about... Sloan.
Hmm? Ret players are getting Gary Sloan.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's exactly what Steelheads needed to be competitive, was Gareth 2 to come out.
Yeah, that was fine. they've always thrown like some random schmo in the middle of a CID, but I mean, to really complain about it is like, really? I mean...
What's the last time a CID didn't have a caster for the faction that was being CID'd?
Scorn.
Scorn.
No, when Makeda What's-Your-Face got...
in week 2.
Okay.
They have another day.
Okay. I'm just saying, so what's the last time a CID legit did not have a caster from the targeted CID sub-faction / faction? Ever?
You could play Striker with that.
Battle
list.
Engines?
Battle Engines, yeah.
Yeah. Striker, what?
Yeah, you could play Striker with that list.
What are you talking about?
He's a Steelhead.
What?
Alt-Strike.
Alt-Striker is a Steelhead.
Striker negative one.
Is he in the CID?
No, he's not.
Well, then why are you even mentioning it?
For this reaction.
Yeah. Well, I thought I'd missed something. So there continues to... Yeah, you can also play Damiano with Steelheads.
Mm-hmm.
Continues to have nothing to do with the CID.
I mean, do we absolutely need to have a CID with every single... A caster with every single CID?
No, but I cannot blame the first people to be that thing... being a little upset about it. There's salt and there's understandable disappointment, and I think this is the latter of those two things.
Mm.
It's a little frustrating that the CID has always had some tweaks and there's not... Instead, here's Gareth. Especially since, and Pagani's standing by his statement, is when people are like, why isn't the Galleon in the CID? He's like, what does the Galleon have to do with Steelheads? That was his fucking answer. Verbatim. Mm-hmm. And then Gareth 2 drops. What does Gareth 2 have to do with Steelheads? I mean, I'm just saying, come on, guys. There we go. There you are, Rodimus. My beauteous face. I can go rally cap.
Also, is it just me or is the Steelhead CID kind of like Fuck Judicators, the CID?
That's okay.
I mean, fuck adjudicators.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I'm not. I don't have anything really to complain about there. I just thought it was interesting that it's like, oh yeah, adjudicators may be a little over the top. So now steelheads eat them for lunch.
Yeah. Well, you know, take that.
Mm-hmm. Also, you know, up to a point, Pagani can sort of say what he wants because he is running the clock out.
Which is, I'm not saying Pagani can't say what he wants to say.
That's true.
I'm just definitely saying that's a bit backhand for all the steelhead people that were reading those words.
Armored players, really, people?
No.
It's not a real faction anyway.
Well, they've got two. True. They've already got two of the best casters in the game.
Yeah, Gorton and Durgan.
Sure.
And Osram.
I mean, Durgan can legit shoot a colossal off the table right now. Yeah. Durgan can one round a colossal by himself currently.
Yeah, my boy Durgan. And Gorton's fucking amazing. Come on.
I still remember the Who's the Boss game I saw with Durgan with a squire, and that explained to me why he was focus five.
Gorton, you mean, not Durgan. Gorton. Yeah. No, there's definitely a reason he doesn't get to have access to a squire or a corollary or any of that shit.
Focus six. Yeah.
That is the most broken feat in the game. It needs to only stretch 10 inches.
Two-headed monster. Two-headed monster, you could have...
It's not good.
No, but you can have...
I mean, it's good,
What's his face from Circle?
Kruger 2?
No.
I mean, that would work, Radicus. Too, but...
No.
I need more...
Sandpillar dude.
Oh, Mosar.
Mosar. So you have Mosar and Gorton, so Gorton can charge the Sandpillar and pop his feet, pull everything in, and just bleh.
The better two-headed monster, because Gorton can do it with one, but the better two-headed monster to do is anyone who can spend two focus to put down a little AoE cloud, and you make a wall of those, and then you push all their single wound infantry into it, and they all automatically die.
Is it still counting as entering?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, you're sure as fuck entering those. Because I would do that with Gorton. I would cast his Molten Eruption or whatever it's called at the end of a line and just feet 10 dudes straight into it to their screaming death. It's great.
And almost no one sees that coming.
Yeah.
No, I specifically said altering a caster counted as a caster being the CID. I didn't say new caster because Dan mentioned Makeda and I said she had changes. Or you mentioned Scorn and I said Makeda had changes. That's a caster. That's not a goalpost move. That was my original goalpost.
Okay, Travis, also as a ret player, I will say that as far as ret players are concerned, Gorshade 4 was a new caster in that CID because no one played him before because he was ungodly terrible.
But whatever. It doesn't matter. The point is they're upset, and I can understand why, so I won't mock them for it.
Yeah.
That's fine.
They'll just mock them for complaining.
There are plenty of other reasons to mock them. There's plenty of other people who have no justification for their upsetness, so I'll mock those people for now. There's always somebody being salty for stupid reasons.
Keith had an amazing rage post where he's like, Bulldoze is the most broken thing in the game. 2 minutes later, never mind. I read the rest of the patch notes.
Yes. Like, his excuse was that, like, it wasn't highlighted in green or whatever the color is, so he didn't actually notice that it had changed.
Mm-hmm. What does change on Bulldoze?
Is it like once per turn now?
Once per turn.
Yeah.
Oh, so you can't... So your model can't be moved. So you can't just Bulldoze with one model and then Bulldoze with another model?
Correct. Anymore?
Okay, that's cool.
Because each individual model with Bulldoze would only move things once. Mm-hmm. That was always a thing. But then a second thing Bulldozing that same thing a second time. Yep. Yeah.
Which meant the Bunny Ranch could just knock you out of every zone at once.
Yeah. That's fine.
I mean, it seems legit.
Yeah. The only I'm kind of going back to the caster thing. I think the only reason why they didn't do any of the casters is they probably felt that they already fit the theme well and were thematically good for the lists already. As compared to Makeda, they may have needed to make some changes to her in order to fit with what they wanted to do with the CID.
I mean, the counterpoint, and Travis, save yourself the look. I'm sure there's a CID somewhere that didn't have casters. I mean, my point is there's a pattern and there's a general feel and emotions are what are being discussed. But,
usually when they're faction related.
Wasn't really focused on one faction.
Like, you're right or wrong. Like, I'm sure there's CIDs that didn't have casters, but for the Merc people, it seemed like a pattern existed, and it's frustrating. So
for most of the faction-related ones, they had a caster or something being modified.
But, to what's your point? I mean, the obvious one, and who I have said since the dawn of War Machine is the worst caster in War Machine, is fucking Magnus 1. Magnus 1 needs some love, man. He's always needed some love. He's always been an interesting concept, but A, Upkeep Hate still exists, even though Mark 3 did some stuff with Upkeep Hate. But Upkeep Hate just says, hey, Magnus 1, you get to lose. And B, his feat is a garbage spell, and it's a feat.
At least it gives parry now, too.
It gets parry now, you're right. So that makes it far better. But just little chance. Like, I've always said, like, it would fit the theme with how it works. When he feats, have all of his battle group do an immediate advance or something like that. Like, that's the like same increased mobility or yeah, you know, or something. But I think Magnus 1 specifically is what people were thinking would, A, have fit the theme, and B, is a caster who needed some love. But I don't play Mercs anymore, so feh.
Yeah, I haven't messed with Mercs in a while.
I do not try to divine the nature of PP. I did watch an enjoyable roast of Will Schick, though, for the last Primecast on Friday.
So speaking of Will Schick, is Oz a Will?
Yes.
I know his birth name is Will, but isn't his name Oz?
That's true.
That's what I'm saying. So I know, Will, literally speaking. Oz Schick. So you're going with Will? No, Oz isn't Schick.
Oz isn't. No.
Skin over.
What is Oz's name?
Oz.
Will.
Okay. Will.
Schoonover.
Yes, wrong.
So Will. Pagani, Will Pagani, Will Schick, Will Hungerford, William, or Will, yeah. Whatever. But there's Will, and then Will Oz Schooner.
Yeah.
But nobody calls him Will. He's Oz. Yeah. He's always just called Oz, is Hungerford the last Will or not? I mean,
are we counting the warehouse stuff?
No, we're looking at the big Wills.
Okay.
Well, I mean,
we're looking at public Wills.
I mean, keep in mind, probably.
Is your Willie in public? Then you're count.
Yeah, so...
Does everybody call him Oz because of the sheer number of Wills around him?
No, okay. He had that... Because I was talking to him at War Machine Weekend. Oz is his nickname from St. Louis in the 90s.
Oh, yeah, okay. So he's always been Oz. But on the Primecast, it does say Will Oz. Like, the subtitle does call him Will, but nobody calls him Will.
Yeah.
So that's why I don't know.
I don't think
he's a Will. I think Hungerford's the last Will. I don't consider him a Will. I consider him Oz.
A lot of people refer to Hungerford as Hungy.
Yeah, but
instead of Will.
Hungy Hungerford is still a Will. It's flappito. Flappity.
I mean, it also when you're in a community like that, depends on how much overlap there is in names, because I am actually kind of really surprised that I get to be David in the War Machine community here, because every other gaming group I've been, we have to number them.
We killed the rest.
Okay. There was a point in time where we had like 5 Nathans, and at least 2 of them had the same last initial as well, so we couldn't even go because there was like an 8H. There was another one of those. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had 5 Nathans for like... just a little while, because one of them only stuck around for like a month. But yeah, because there was Epic Nate, there was me, there was Nate Newby, and then there were just a couple random ones.
Yeah, when I lived in New York, there was another Dave that had the same last initial, and his wife had the same name as mine.
I like the thing that Arctic Circle has a good point, which he didn't directly say, but is a thumb a finger? And so Oz is the thumb of the Will hand, right? You have Will Oz.
Yeah.
But it's technically a Will, but it's an Oz. A thumb is technically a finger.
His genus is still Will.
He's a burrito at the sandwich shop.
Sure. It's like the legless lizards aren't technically snakes, right? Yeah. They're still a wizard.
Yep.
Yeah.
So Oz is a lizard? What?
Yes. They're all lizard people.
He might be okay with that.
So, I mean, we keep on jumping off topic.
Wait, Andy. We have a topic?
Yeah.
Also, that's because I can't remember what half of the stuff in the announcement.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was going to...
We're still mid-announcement, right?
Yeah.
That's what we're trying to go over, like, a couple of the things on there.
Okay. All right. I'm just saying Rodimus Prime's talking about whether or not a hamburger is a sandwich now, which it totally is.
We don't need to talk about sandwiches.
Sure, we do.
I had a random person send me a picture of a sandwich from Germany.
This is the Crippled Sandwich Podcast, don't you know? Yes.
Sandwich.
I actually posted kind of what we were going to talk about. Like, but I didn't tell you guys it.
Here I go. I'm going to check the chat.
You guys need to see my post I post. Because I posted what we were kind of talking about.
You understand how Facebook works. We don't actually get to see the posts that we want to see.
Yeah.
We get to see everyone's political beliefs.
Also, if it was during, like, if it was this afternoon, I was distracted by A, what was going on with Raylene, and B, someone in my D&D party attempted to murder the NPC we were traveling with, and that kind of caused the party to have the ending of Reservoir Dogs, but with fireballs. It got real hectic.
I get to, who tried to kill? I'm going to assume it's Jeremy.
Nope. Jeremy was one of the voices of reason.
What?
What?
Because we split into two. Katie was on team sociopath, and I was on team protect the NPC. And Jeremy was the neutral party who was like, come on, guys, calm down.
So Chris tried to kill him?
Yeah. Chris straight up tried to murder a guy. Because Chris's character is like part dragon.
Sure.
And dragons are gone from this world as part of the mythos and like the whatever. And so this guy we've been traveling with for like a month and a half, who's like saved our ass several times, whatever. He just like, man, like somebody mentioned dragons. He's like, no, fuck dragons. And Chris's like, what? What? And the guy's like, yeah, like if you were a dragon, I'd kill you right here. And Chris just frost bolted him right in the face. There's just chromatic orb right in the face, and it's like we're all like, what the fuck? And then Brian's like, all right, we'll stop for today. By the way, we can't meet again for like a month and a half because of the holidays. And we're all like, no, no, we're finishing this now. And it got real fucking hectic.
Well, I'll probably hear about this afterwards.
Yeah. No, Chris just and then we had a big debate about whether Chris and Katie got to keep calling their characters as being good. That was their supposed alignment. Katie's like, I'm good. I just her definition of good is nature should prevail. So she'll just straight up like slash a baby's throat in the crib if it means a tree will grow. That, and I'm like, that's not good. That's eco-terrorism. You're evil.
I say that is the definition of waffle evil.
Yeah, exactly. Like, she is full-on waffle evil, but she just calls it good because she thinks she's justified. Like, all villains think they're justified.
Yes, that's
yeah, that is, that's yeah, waffle that is straight evil. Waffle yeah. evil.
No, because nature's good, and she's fighting for nature. Ta-da!
Concern?
Yes. So now we have a team where we have two evil people, two good people, two neutral people, and then Jeremy's like, meh, mean to me.
So, announcements.
So.
Well, I mean, so going over the Privateers announcements or their game plan for 2019. They're going to have a narrative event over the summer, or actually kicking off.
Yeah, it sounds like another four-party one, or parter one.
And then Stormbreak storyline, that's going to be continuing the Axe of War.
Wait, is that's the one that they're doing the Storm of Chaos thing for, right? Where it's... player input will be taken into permanent lore decisions.
Correct. I believe that is the whole Lael. What's going to happen from the Lael resistance. I believe that's it. I should have read all these before I went into here. But then there's the a new book for Privateer, the Art of Privateer Press. It's going into Kickstarter, which
tomorrow,
is kind of cool.
I believe.
Is or it is,
no, sorry. It's January.
Yeah. I was going to say tomorrow will be kind of soon.
Surprise!
The Infernals at Lock and Load. We already knew about that, and they released a whole bunch of concept art for that, so that seems really cool.
So, one thing on that, they did... Dallas, at one point on the stream on Friday, brought in an Infernal, hit it, but basically put it like this, and it was a good inch and a half taller than their faction coffee mug that they were using.
Yeah. Hmm.
Yeah, that one looks fucking amazing.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the what concept art that's out there, or the
no, they actually 3D, have the model,
the 3D printed one. Yeah, yeah. That's cool. So then there's a War Machine Oblivion, I believe, is
it's like Escalation.
And
so it's going to have new things for every faction and a full campaign.
And apparently, if I'm still playing Protectorate at that point, we'll get Angels, or Archons.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremy's a barbarian. I'm a bard.
You would
to answer chat.
You would.
So you're almost...
I was the fifth member of the party. The fifth person kind of has to be a bard.
That's true.
So you're almost a barbarian. You got the B-A-R part.
Yeah.
Bardbarian.
Yeah. Bardbarian. Hit people with guitars.
Yep.
So I'm not
El
saying...
Kabong.
I'm not saying this is you, but every bard I've ever had in a party with me has been a douchebag. So...
I am trying to be non-bardy bard.
Most
like,
of those...
I haven't rolled to seduce a single time.
I mean, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah, no. See, my guy's traveling because he knows eventually they're all going to die. And if I can survive that and write it into a good ballad, I'll be famous forever.
The J.R.R. Martin approach?
Yes.
Everyone died. The end.
Yeah, like I want to write the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, but from a first-hand account, but not sink with the boat. That's my character motivation.
Isn't that called sink the boat?
Well, I mean, then that's just. I mean, that's.
I guess that's the Lockhart method.
Yeah, I want this, it to happen. I want.
You don't
want to
make the story. You want to write
correct,
the story.
Correct. Correct. Now that being said, I encourage shit. Like, you know, if I see a giant and I'm like, wow, Jeremy, you could take it.
Or you're all like, hey, it's okay. You can say the dragon's word. It's not their word.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I definitely, I'm fine with encouraging interesting things to happen. I'm a halfling, a Lightfoot halfling.
I'm judging you even further.
So, Nathan, have you paid attention to any of the Monsterpocalypse news that came from the 2019?
I mean, I know, like, some release dates like Deimos and stuff like that, but if there's any big new announcements, no.
All right, we get to watch this live.
Oh, we get to watch this live then. Yeah. So following the Q1 releases, flesh out the monsters in there, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
Cthulhu Void Gate comes with a rampage of horde new monsters, blah, yep. blah, blah. Kraken Noctis of the Tritons.
Nice.
Who is Protectors.
Really?
And Hammer Clack of the Corvisic of the Subterranean Uprising.
Sure, sure, okay.
So they're adding people. All the wave two.
Sure.
Some of the new wave two monsters.
Some of them. But the they're really going with the fish people being protectors.
Fish people are protectors, and the Uber Corps are destroyers.
Huh. Uber Corps were the Mecha Godzilla guys,
yep,
right? Yeah,
were the Mecha Godzilla guys, yeah.
Huh. So. It's interesting that they switched those two. Like, I can see putting the fish people as protectors just because that's where they put the dinosaurs. So they're saying, mm-hmm. like, these are native creatures protecting
yeah.
the Earth.
Yeah.
As opposed to in the first edition when they were aquatic invaders onto the land.
Yeah.
You know, like, what's the name of the guy in One Punch Man? The Atlantean King. He has a name. Whatever. Might have been Atlantean King. But, no, I can see that change. But Uber Corps being evil, I guess they'll just be like, you know.
Yep,
evil corporation.
King Kondo's, they've announced him.
Oh, him too? Nice. Protectors again, I assume,
yep.
as well?
And
so all the nature guys are protector now.
Gorga Hadrietron? I can't say. It's basically the Uber Corps. So
yeah,
It's Gorgadra's...
Gorgadra. It's Gorgadra with a Tron at the end.
Yes. It was the destroyers. And they have like a shot of
so they basically
him with the building. Not him.
The subterranean.
That's
guys.
A subterranean.
Yeah,
guy,
yeah
that's
yeah.
what I mean.
Nice.
Then they have announced some more stuff for the mini crate.
Oh, yeah, the Sea King. That was the One Punch Man. Mm-hmm. Also the Pokemon.
Yep. Yeah, there's a bunch more L5R stuff coming.
Yeah. And then the kind of the bigger thing, which I think is a bigger thing, but there and I posted a few times their announcement trailer for Riot Quest is one of the.
That was a bad inside joke.
It feels like a bad inside joke.
The entirety I never watched the trailer, and so the entirety of my Riot Quest knowledge, I don't even know what the fuck it is. I just know that apparently the models in it are going to be legal in normal War Machine, and that yep. includes an Eris 4.
Yeah, because yep. Counting to 4 is a racial ability exclusive to elves in War Machine so sure. far.
Yeah.
But it's Riot Quest is I guess I didn't really pay attention to what was actually said in there because just the animation.
We were all in shock.
Yeah, the yeah. animation, everything for Riot Quest, the trailer is.
Oh, it's animated?
Yeah. Oh, it is.
Okay, maybe
it's,
I need to watch it.
No. It is. No. It's
terrible.
Can we movie paint train it?
It's cringeworthy.
We could movie paint train it after this, and just I'll set up a camera to get our live reaction to it.
Sure.
But I didn't really pay attention to it. It's a post-apocalyptic Iron Kingdoms.
Okay.
That's where Riot Quest takes place in. Is a post-apocalyptic.
It's basically if the Infernal Invasion worked.
Yeah.
Is that the apocalypse?
Yes.
Yeah. Or the worm.
Well, I think that was what
I'm curious if it had a specific fluff
explanation. I thought I had heard that was if the Infernals actually worked. Kind of thing.
So they have some cool models for there. They have a pig inside of a tank that has already gotten a ton of people complaining about it.
Complaining? I've heard nothing but amazing things about
Is that a Riot Quest model or just a normal?
That's a Riot Quest model.
Oh, okay.
Well, there's no delineation. Right, a Riot Quest model is a normal
model. Right, I thought that was just a
no, that is a Riot Quest model.
Okay, that is not.
I've only heard people excited about picking a tank because that's the greatest thing possible.
Well, it's amazing, yes, but there's some people who complain, like the Kator guys, like, I heard we'll never have tanks in War Machine. This is a post-apocalyptic world.
Yeah, it's Leadfoot and Trent. Shut up.
Yeah, who cares? Yeah, it's a pig in a tank.
Yeah. There's Boomhauer 2 with a Gatling gun.
Yeah.
Picking a tank's the second best possible thing with a pig. I still want the pig Warcaster, where it's like Master Blaster, so he has a dismount.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean,
I'm just happy about Eris 4, because she'll be free in Defenders of Ios.
Potentially.
Or she might not even be in Defenders.
Well, as long as she's partisan, she will be.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's possible that
she's not partisan.
Yeah.
It's a strong bet. True.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. More likely it's she will be, but we don't know the rules until I think that's summer is when
Gen Con is when they said it was coming out, I believe.
Yes, Brian, that is a common
it's seriously,
result.
Nathan, it is. The information given in it is kind of funny, but it's
I've heard the reaction was very bemused at the con.
That's
putting it politely.
Yeah.
Mildly. Yeah.
I think they had more to say and then decided to quickly move on.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't. Somebody hit the button that said approve after it got done. I don't know if somebody watched it beforehand. Well, it was.
I remember people making fun of the narrator of the Grimkin trailer and how she like mispronounced some stuff and everything like that. Like that was bad enough, but the response to this was
this is on a whole other level. No. The Grimkin trailer was a masterpiece compared to this. But I am intrigued with a post-apocalyptic world of
and it's kingdoms. A quick hex based.
Yeah, it seems to be in that general genre of MOBA inspired miniatures,
like Shadespire and stuff like that. But it's cool though that, I mean, all the models will be usable in War Machine cards, which is, I mean,
they will sell models.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, most definitely. Uh-huh. And that was,
I mean, and to some extent, I mean, they're doing some of the same things GW is doing, where it's like, here's this new side game that is also fully compatible from a model perspective of our base game.
Yep.
Which means that we're not really hurting our production schedule too much.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Cool.
Yeah, that's Privateer's thing for the future, which is kind of cool. I was lamenting because another company that I like a lot has been talking about giving us news since Black Friday.
Which company?
And they have not. I'm not going to name it, but everybody who knows.
Does it start with an S and rhyme with Team Forged?
Possibly.
Okay.
They said that they were going to have the announcement for the future of their resins like the week after Black Friday hit.
That's been a while.
I mean, building anticipation.
It's a British company. The week was spelled with an E, so there's some extra time.
Isn't week always spelled with an E?
It's with a U in there. That's that's what
okay.
It is.
Okay. I was like, usually there's a couple.
Yeah. W-E-U-E-K.
Maybe they meant British Black Friday.
Yeah.
Because British Black Friday is a Boxing Day Eve, but not the normal Boxing Day, the one at the end of the Christmas, but the 12 days of Christmas, not the first day of Christmas.
So we're talking January 10th.
Yeah, yeah, right around there.
He did say, though, it was going to be after Black Friday. So
technically, the rest of time is after Black Friday.
Technically, or until the next Black Friday.
And besides, they're too busy writing like all of the characters that I play.
They're just
and
killing
killed,
all of
them. Fucking killed my cat.
When can you feed a gremlin again?
Yeah, that's...
So, like, Midnight Hits...
I still don't think that's the right question. I think the question you should ask is, why would you ever feed a gremlin?
A Mogwai. When can you feed a Mogwai again?
Stop thinking about that. You have the
age-old question, too, is what if you feed a Mogwai at 6 p.m. and he has something stuck in his tooth,
right,
and that falls out after midnight?
Or you feed him, like, on a flight, and it crosses a time zone. Like, it was 11:50, and then it becomes 12:50.
I still stand by my statement.
While he's chewing.
I understand the Mogwai does involve a little more confliction, but I still stand with why.
Gizmo's adorable!
So... I think probably the way you solve that is not time zones or absolute time, because, technically it could be midnight anywhere. It's dealing with where the sun is. I think they're tied to the sun.
Yeah, but when do you feed them again? Sunrise?
At sunrise.
Because the sun doesn't go down at midnight. The sun goes down way before midnight.
When does it cease being after midnight?
Because night would be at midnight would be like what you would probably consider as the apex of where the sun is to the earth.
Okay, so here's a different question.
Is still after midnight. Does it count?
So like early bird special breakfast or a late brunch?
I would say once the sun rises, you can feed the Mogwai again.
So an unrelated question, who designs a remote control car that's fully functional from within it gas and brake pedals and gear shifting?
Yeah, that's amazing.
Also, so
who designs that car?
So if it's a sunup thing, it's like if you have a Mogwai in Norway, he just starves to death over the winter.
Support this plan.
No, yeah. So that's fine. Or
you also don't let them outside because all that snow is wet when you bring them back in.
Yeah. So you should only have a Mogwai not exercise vigorously?
I don't. Maybe they don't sweat.
Well, then they just die of overheat.
No, dogs don't sweat. They pant.
They sweat also. Yeah, like their pads of their paws and stuff.
He might do that. It may not just be specifically water. He might be secreting something.
But they don't say don't get water on them. They say don't get them wet. Mountain Dew would probably make them change. They just say wet.
Do they just say wet or just water?
Well, go piss on a Mogwai. See what happens.
Well, you have water in your piss, though.
Okay. So
we have to get a Mogwai and actually...
Doesn't almost any liquid have water or melts them?
I mean, can you dry clean one? Because they use it. I mean, there's a liquid that's used in dry cleaning. It's just not water. I mean,
that'll kill them anyway.
But it says, which apparently Dan's in favor of.
They remind me of Furbies. All Furbies must die.
It's the other way around. Furbies remind me of Mogwai.
It's do not let it get wet. Yeah. Is the actual warning. It does not mention water specifically. So how wet is wet? Like,
did you just ask how wet is wet?
There's a point where a liquid is so viscous it's almost a solid.
Are we into Jaden Smith tweets?
I put a sheet of glass on top of a Mogwai, did I get it wet? There is a liquid on it.
Yeah.
The what?
What? If I set a sheet of glass on top of a Mogwai, did I get it wet? It is being contacted by a liquid.
Oh,
like I said.
How viscous does it have to be before it doesn't count as being wet?
I mean, or more succinctly, what is wet?
No.
Baby, don't hurt me. Yeah, is wet just has liquid on it?
Well, technically, then just existing. Just having it existing is I think terrible for the Mogwai.
So basically, we've narrowed this down to the Sahara is a safe place for a Mogwai. I mean, they won't get wet, and there's lots of sun.
Well, the sunlight just murders it. So if by best solution, you're just killing them because the sun makes them die. Which, again, I know you're just in favor of Mogwai genocide.
Just get him an umbrella and he'll be fine.
Yeah, like a little slow loris.
I prefer the term Mogwai aside.
Mogwai aside, sure. Yeah. People talk about the food thing. The wet thing's the real case cracker here.
I think it actually has to be in an actual liquid-style form. Like...
Sure.
I mean, like you can't just throw an ice cube at it.
Yeah, say, what happens with ice?
Well, like, what if you, like, douse it in gasoline?
Well, that would that's be wet. Definitely wet. That's definitely
most
wet.
Most definitely wet.
No, the bigger thing is, like, again, stuff like is...
If you feed it mercury?
Peanut butter? If it gets peanut butter in its fur, is it wet? Is peanut butter a solid?
Before or after the dog?
Is this
Well, the dog's saliva would be wet.
So is this normal peanut butter or fancy peanut butter? Because the fancy peanut butter leaches the oil out of it.
Right. That's the organic shit you have to mix up.
So no organic food for the Mogwai?
No organic food. Yeah, it depends on the peanut butter. I think, the thing is, though, arguing it happening to flow is because you leave peanut butter out, it'll eventually flow.
Oh, I Googled what is wet, and it's a street name for liquid PCP.
Oh.
So maybe they just meant don't get a Mogwai high on PCP. The water thing was just a total red herring.
Yeah,
I kind of want to see that.
I would. Actually, you did see it. It was in Gremlins 2. It was the one that was a little loopy. That movie is amazing, by the way. Oh. The pitch fest for on Key and Peele is probably one of my favorite skits ever.
I just need the Mogwai Research Institute.
That's called Reddit.
Oh, I'm willing to bet you. Well, no, you can't really. Yeah, never mind. I think I found the new episode name. It's going to be Mogwai Aside.
I feel like I need to trademark that quickly.
You can go buy the domain, mogwaiaside.com. And then we could
probably some white supremacist site.
No, because then we could actually do, you know, perform our experiments. But we need Mogwais. So, you know, we'll have to have people donate so we can get Mogwais.
Yeah, but I mean, I thought you were only supposed to give a Mogwai to somebody that was known for wisdom and shit, who would give one to one of us.
Well, you know. Mr. Peltzer got one, so, I mean, that's... dipshit kid can sell it to us, too.
All right, I'm currently now... This rabbit hole, I am in a medical article from the Handbook of Clinical Neurology discussing neurological rehabilitation and diet modification, because I'm looking into the concept of thin liquids versus thick liquids. Because I'm trying to figure out if there's viscous enough liquids where you're not technically wet.
Yeah.
Would Mogwaiaside have a repeating eye in it?
I mean, I will say that if I get honey on my hands, I do not perceive it as being wet. I perceive it as being fucking gross.
Yeah, no, like is tree sap wet?
Yeah,
sweet. It's $3.
And you can just make it like cookie clicker, but you're just murdering Mogwais with every click. I don't know if that was your Mogwai impression or just your happy noise at the concept of that.
Por qué lo notas?
Fair.
Well, I can also get mogwaiaside.net and .org and .info. Right.
I'm going to look into non-Newtonian fluids real quick, because I think that might be where to go. So, like, if a Mogwai impacts it hard enough, it's not wet, but if you let it sink, like quicksand, basically.
Well, okay, so hold on. So what happens if you drop a Mogwai onto water? It'll smack into the water. It'll kill it, because it will actually hit it, and then sink.
If you get a dead Mogwai wet, yeah. Does it duplicate into dead Mogwai? Spit up
more dead Mogwais?
I believe if it's dead, it stops duplicating.
The Mogwai Aside Institute will check into this for you.
Okay. And it's going to need much tests, clinical trial.
Yeah.
Mogwai.club is only 99 cents.
Well, sure, it's a dot club.
There are so many dumb extensions. Like, can you get mogwaiaside.ninja? Because there is a .ninja top-level domain for reasons that I cannot fathom.
Isn't that one of the ones that solely exists for large companies to buy up the domain name so they don't have to worry about it?
Are you wet if ketchup is on you?
All right, that was full-on Jaden Smith.
Okay, so what's the answer?
I would say definitely you were not wet if you have honey.
How can
mirrors
see if they don't have eyes? That's legit a Jaden Smith tweet, is how can mirrors see if they don't have eyes? He is batshit insane.
Where did I see this? I think it was maybe posted by Rick. Is like, if telescopes use mirrors, how will we see the invasion of the space vampires?
Why? So if moonlight is just reflected sunlight, why doesn't it burn vampires?
Yeah, that's it's got to be part of the spectrum that's just not part
that the moon doesn't bounce
moon
back
absorbs or something.
Sure.
I mean, also if it's any consolation, modern telescopes are almost all digital and don't revolve around mirrors anymore. So I mean, as long as the vampire gives off detectable electromagnetic radiation. Or you can have such radiation reflect off of it, and we'll be able to see it in a modern telescope because it won't bounce off of a mirror.
That's interesting. Counterpoint, a question that's in my head, and now it needs to be out of my head so it can be in all of your heads. Does it count if you sexually arouse a female Mogwai?
Wait, what?
I'm out.
I was specifically avoiding that.
I'm out.
I don't think are
Mogwai gendered because they reproduce asexually through budding.
But do they always reproduce asexually, or is that just a backup like evolutionary trait?
I have a more important question. Do Mogwai have ages?
Okay, well, now I'm worried about the follow-up question to that one. It's like an anime. It's a 1,000-year-old Mogwai that just looks like she's 10.
I don't.
That's how they get away with that. Oh no, she's a 10,000-year-old dragon demon. We just drew her as a grade school girl.
I'm way back out now.
Yeah, it's fucking absurd how those like dirty animes try to get away with that shit. It's like we just know you're a creepy weirdo.
I thought Japan just embraced that.
Yeah.
Are you sure that's not just the dubbing?
I don't think they're in the...
Oh, yes, there is one undeniably gendered Mogwai.
No.
No, Gremlin. That's a gendered Gremlin. Mm-hmm. But the don't get them wet rules still apply. So if that female Gremlin became sexually aroused... I think
it's also possible that Gremlin was... A sentence
I never thought I'd say.
I think it's possible that Gremlin actually identified as female.
Sure.
Not as an...
Well, and so, I mean, it was assigned genderless at birth, right?
Yeah, I mean...
So it was 100% assigned genderless at birth, but hormonal treatment...
Because it did have hormonal treatment. It had hormonal treatment,
and so it definitely... It is a trans woman, but, I mean, it is a female as far as I am concerned. Yes. It's definitely assigned genderless at birth, though. You're right about that.
It's a weird... Interesting subject that we.
So, if you sexually allow arouse a transgender assigned genderless at birth gremlin, does it asexually reproduce?
Or counterpoint, we finally found the topic where Andy allows hitting the mic.
You only headbutt the mic so many times.
Yeah. I mean, this is all far more interesting than the old tooth. You know. There's a seed in its teeth, and then it eats it at 12:01. Yeah. I want to know what happens if you get funky with a transgender gremlin. And I finally have an excuse to talk about it.
All right.
what else we got?
All right, so how are we going to seg off of that one?
I mean, that's never stopped us before.
Yeah.
I mean, we could talk about the Game Awards trailers, and I don't know if everyone has seen... many of the Game Awards trailers, but there is
Outer Worlds. Is this really Outer going Worlds. To be able to follow Gremlin sexuality?
Well, anything can.
Okay. That's fine. We followed up.
I mean, I specifically watched the Endgame trailer just so I knew what you guys were talking about.
Oh, the
Avengers Endgame. Avengers.
Because I figured that would come up.
Pshaw.
It looks cool. I mean, it's another Avengers film, which is, I mean. You'd figure, at least for me, I think for most, you figure that after all these Marvel movies, you would have a little blowout and you'd just be sick of them.
I mean, I hit that around
hit that
4 or 5 years ago.
You did?
Yeah. I haven't seen anything since Iron Man 2.
I've seen most of them in the theaters when they came out, just because I know they have made one movie so far that I really didn't enjoy.
What movie? Nope,
Iron Man 3.
Oh, well, that's...
I mean, it's one of those things, I don't think they're bad.
Now, Iron Man 3 is in my bottom three Marvel films.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not that I think they're bad, it's just I stopped caring.
Okay. I mean, it's just, it's not, I'm not in a rush to see them.
But I also had some people go so far down the fandom cosplay thing for a while that it was like a toxic brand for me.
Yeah.
If part of it's not caring, like especially about not caring about the overarching like plot and blah, 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 I would definitely still say to just see Guardians 1/2 because
I guess Guardians I did see movies, Guardians 1
because they have nothing to do with the rest of the fucking movies.
Yeah, yep. And they're both great.
Yeah, honestly, at this point, it's just the inertia of getting started again. Sure. It's kind of like the same reason why I'm still trying to work up into Game of Thrones is just at this point the inertia of knowing I need to spend 75 hours of time watching it.
Also, you can watch Thor Ragnarok because even though it is technically in the continuum, it is so far removed from everything else, you will lose absolutely nothing.
I could spend 10 minutes with you and summarize each movie in a minute and you'd be fine.
I mean, we own over half of them.
Yeah, I'm just saying you don't even have to watch them. I'm going to say, there's what happens, here's what happens.
I fully keep up with what happens.
Oh, well, then fine. Then you're
because everyone around me watches them routinely, so I need to know what's going on.
You should
on.
At least see Thor Ragnarok. Because
sure, at fantastic. Some point I should watch all of them at least once. Like, they're good media, I just, at this point, just the inertia of having to catch up is a little daunting.
Yeah, I can understand that. I don't know. I'm excited for it. I have not suffered burnout. I also haven't been living it. Like, I don't get the movies and then just watch them ad nauseum forever.
Yeah. I'm also, as I admitted last time, that I have never specifically chosen to rewatch a movie, which is weird.
I rewatched Infinity War the other day. Yeah. That was really cool. I enjoyed it.
Most of the Marvel movies I've seen three times, because what we'll do is we'll watch it in the theater, and then we'll buy it on DVD, and we'll watch it, and then I will then, like, and not necessarily like sit down and watch, but I will listen to it with the commentary track on, because sure. I love commentary tracks.
Yeah. Talk about spoilers, though, too. They kind of announce a spoiler, like, from Ant-Man and Wasp.
Well, yeah.
In that trailer already. Which, I mean, Ant-Man and Wasp just came out like a month and a half ago, on video, that is.
They don't show a spoiler from it. They show that something that happens in it unhappens, but they don't reveal the thing that happens.
Yeah, true.
It's like if they show a character alive, that it would be a spoiler to mention that they died in the film. That's not a spoiler, because for people who haven't seen the film, as far as they know, the character's always been alive.
That's true.
It's not that much of a spoiler, because even the thing that is being spoiled is something that is intentionally ambiguous anyway.
What? Well, now I'm just confused because they don't spoil anything. Like,
no, it's
spoiler alert, at the end of Ant-Man and Wasp, everybody dies, including the people that are supposed to take Ant-Man out of the quantum dimension.
Right. So what's ambiguous about that?
As the fade to black at the end of that was that he had no idea how he was going to get out of the quantum dimension and may die, because the guy that was supposed to take him out of there is now ash blowing on the wind.
Sure.
But I kind of viewed that as being really ambiguous, that it was just like, okay, he was inconvenienced.
You mean it's ambiguous whether he'll survive it, not it's ambiguous what happened.
Right.
That is the confusion about us being confused by use of ambiguous, but that clarifies that.
Yeah.
So B, nothing in the trailer spoils any of that happening.
Yeah,
it doesn't spoil that happening. It spoils that. Yeah, it spoils that.
Ironically, it is a spoiler only for people who saw the thing that it, in theory, was spoiling.
Right.
Because if you hadn't seen Ant-Man and Wasp, you're just like, yep, that's Ant-Man.
Yeah.
And that makes sense, too, because...
Yeah, that was my perspective. I was like, the hell?
What? Yeah, because now I'm thinking about that, too. Yeah, basically, they pretty much mention in the Avengers Infinity War that both Hawkeye and Scott...
Because
they mentioned them specifically, had taken different options to basically remain free, and then everybody else became an
option. They show that in Ant-Man and Wasp,
Yeah. But I mean, like, people who didn't see Ant-Man and Wasp and only saw Infinity War, they would just know that he, you know, like, because they show Hawkeye in the trailer, and then they show Ant-Man. And be like, oh, he's, you know, his stuff is done.
Correct. So, ironically, it's not a spoiler for Ant-Man and Wasp.
Being a spoiler, it's not a spoiler.
Correct, because it's not a spoiler. And so the reverse is, like, people are so fucking dumb. And I always, the joke I always do with Raylene when we're watching a movie or whatever, because the Avengers 4 thing, the Endgame trailer comes out, and they show him, and then people in the comments are like, how'd he get out of the quantum zone? And my go-to with that, whenever I'm like, it's like, they never explain it. I'm sure they never explain it. There's no way that the film mentions how he gets out of the quantum zone.
No. That'll be for Ant-Man 3.
Yeah. Or counterpoint, maybe the movie fucking tells you? Like, what a stupid question to ask. What a goddamn stupid question to ask.
That person is spoiling it. Mm-hmm. For people who haven't seen Ant-Man and Wasp.
But just the general thing.
Sure, I mean,
right?
But you should also know never read the comments.
I mean, I'm sure what actually happened was the screensaver kicked on Hank Pym's laptop, and that shut down the process that was doing it and just automatically warped him back.
I played Space Alert. But, it's not Hawkeye anymore, it's Ronin, but that's like, you're getting real comic booky there. But it's like, shit, like, if you watch a trailer, okay, of a James Bond movie, okay? And then they show a shot of him, like, flying a helicopter. How did he get a helicopter? I'm sure the movie will show how he gets the helicopter. No, what a stupid fucking question.
I mean, the answer is it's brought in three suitcases.
Sure, yeah. Well, in that case, yeah. But, like, what a stupid fucking question. The most pointless goddamn question you can ask about anything in a trailer ever.
How did Iron Man get his suit? He blew him up in Iron Man 3.
We'll never mention it.
Oh,
How did Thanos get the Infinity Gems?
They'll show it in the movie.
No, there's at least one gem they don't show him getting.
No, but they mention it.
They do mention it. Yeah. He destroyed a planet to get it, pretty much. So, like,
but they're... Fuck you, idiot! They will explain it! If you see a trailer for the next Star Wars movie and Luke's in it, I guarantee... spoilers, he dies in Episode 8. If you see a trailer for the new Star Wars movie and Luke's in it, I guarantee they'll explain how Luke's in it. It'll be a flashback, or he'll come back from the dead, or he'll be a Force ghost, but the movie will fucking explain it.
The better question is, if Leia's in it, will they explain that?
Well, how will they explain that she isn't?
Yeah. So... Star Wars 9 is coming out after Infinity War, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. And that everything's after Infinity War.
No, but...
yeah, because Infinity War was like a few months ago.
I'm saying out of Endgame.
Yeah. Oh,
or,
yeah.
Or yes. Star Wars...
No, because
it's be coming out after.
Endgame is end of April, and Star Wars 9 is December.
So when Luke faded to dust at the end of The Last Jedi...
Yeah.
He might not be dead.
Right, he can come back. Because
Thanos is one who did that.
But, yeah, well, no,
Thanos' snap went back in time to a different galaxy.
Yes.
I was going to say, because, I mean, Star Wars, I mean, even if Star Wars is in the Marvel Universe, it's a long time ago.
Right, but that's how powerful the snap was.
Yeah. Also, Star Wars is in the Marvel Universe.
What? Yeah, it actually is.
There's no if. It legit is in the Marvel Universe. Yep.
I mean, couldn't you argue that the Infinity Stones have been used before?
Yeah.
Maybe this was actually Snap 2.
Yeah, and maybe they'll reverse all snaps. Including the popular 90s hip-hop band Snap, who released Oops Up as a number one hit single.
Yeah, it should be reversed.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not good possibly. I can't believe I fucking referenced Snap, the 90s band.
That's the second weirdest thing you've said tonight.
Yeah.
All right.
So if we're talking about Avengers, am I alone in thinking that Loki isn't actually dead? That this is some sort of long con because I was waiting for that entire movie for Loki to come back.
You are not alone, but I desperately hope he's dead.
I have a feeling he is toast. Unless it's something that they, in reversing what Thanos has done, has reversed further back.
That dying to such an obvious backstab was so out of character. I was just waiting for the ha-ha moment.
And wasn't that like 10 minutes in?
I'm not sure it was 10 minutes in.
He died to be a MacGuffin for Thor. Thor needed that drive to happen then and there with Thanos to blame so that Thor would be driven.
But it works that way too if Thor just thinks he's dead, because Thor clearly thinks he's dead.
But sure. Well, what is gained by him not being dead?
It's just it annoyed me of how transparent his attempt, the god of mischief's transparency of just trying to get close to Thanos and fucking stab him.
He's never been selfless before. He's awkward at it.
Yeah, I agree with Nathan there. He definitely
is. This how heroes always do stuff.
Yeah,
I guess not. Yeah, no, I think he'll stay dead, and then they'll kill the obvious people whose contracts are up in this next movie, and then life will go on.
Avengers and 9 Endgame.
The only one
is budgeting.
Yeah. The only one I'm iffy on is Gamora.
Oh, she'll I'm stay sure dead? She'll but she, she's tied I'm, to the Soul Stone.
Correct.
Yeah. Like, possibly.
She was not a snap death. Like, I figured they'll undo snap deaths for sure.
Yeah.
She's not a snap death, so that doesn't include her, but she's in the Soul Stone, maybe, or at least the child representation of her is. So is that something. Gamora's soul or just a simulacrum? But if that's Gamora's soul that's in the Soul Stone, it can in theory be pulled out of it and get life again. But
what could
I
happen
think Loki's
after,
gone, gone.
What could happen after the unsnapping is all of a sudden the entire Marvel Universe is there. Like, all the X-Men.
Sure.
Just everything just appears.
Just with contracts from Disney.
Yeah, just with a contract.
Look at that!
I mean, that might actually be a good way of getting the X-Men into this universe.
Yes. Yeah. But... yeah, and then Quicksilver's back, and it's awkward for Scarlet Witch because she doesn't know that Quicksilver.
Or it could be, or they could also go with,
I mean,
like,
they're just going to pull him off of Marvel Universe 2 anyways.
Well, yeah, that was what I was going to say, is they could do like DC does, is just have the multiple dimensions with the multiple universes, and then the unsnapping just puts them all together, and they're like, hey, look.
Like when Superboy Prime punched a hole in reality?
Hmm.
We don't talk about that.
Okay.
We don't talk about Superboy Prime.
I love Superboy Prime. Only because his power set is amazing, because it's exactly what I love to see in the writing of comic books and stuff like that.
I like Prime. He was really cool. Not Optimus Prime, but Prime, sure. As in the...
Like Rodimus Prime? Like in our chat?
No. Like Prime is
like
actually...
Like the movie Prime?
No.
No, that's Primer.
Yeah.
He's thinking about Prime numbers.
Prime sure. Is... Who is it? Prime is honestly pretty much Shazam. Yeah. Just a grosser representation of him. Instead of just turning into Shazam, he has an outer gooey shell that comes out.
Delicious.
Yeah.
It's like a nice candy shell.
God, that picture of Shazam from the meme that we posted last week. Oh my God, it's such a great picture.
Well, that meme's always great. That's a good meme.
That's no Pikachu face.
Yeah. Good old surprise Pikachu. Good old any meme, dude. The fucking Dune American Choppers meme.
That is the best.
Yes.
American Choppers meme works for
American Choppers meme is solid, but yeah. Good times.
I don't know if we have any Zappity Grumbles at all, but I did have one more thing.
Jim posted one on your Facebook thing that I saw in the middle of my Reservoir Dogs.
Oh, all right. Well, the other thing we should talk about too, which...
So that's announcements.
Yeah. Well, the other thing is something that's kind of cool that's being run by one of the longest War Machine podcasts is Community Builders.
Oh, yeah, that's a thing that's worth talking about.
That Chain Attack is running.
Yep.
I think it's a really cool idea for try to inject some positivity into this game.
I would agree.
I mean, we've always been kind of positive. We haven't really slagged on most companies unless it's
positive adjacent.
We're positive adjacent.
How positive I was about the CID. I defended salty people.
But I mean, we're generally not.
We're net positive.
We're not doomy. Yeah.
Net positive. Yeah. Oh, we're net positive. Net positive.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, we did our share of shitting on the Riot Quest trailer.
Like I said,
that's shitting on that. We're not talking about the concept or the models or the actual game itself. Yes. Yeah. It's just that the
execution is different than concept.
Correct. Yeah.
Also, net positivity.
Yeah, yeah, and we're less doom. We tried not to talk about.
We're not particularly doomy.
Yeah. But I'm excited to see where this goes. I mean,
my only complaint with it is I wish that it wasn't branded with a specific podcast.
Sure.
But I understand why it needs to be now, and I hope that it grows big enough that is no longer a thing that needs to be there.
Correct. Correct. Mm-hmm. I am happy that it has the blessings of Privateer as well.
Mm-hmm. It's just cool. PG program Mark II.
kind of, but it's promoting games and promoting people to play games. Yeah. What are you looking at? Mm-hmm.
I wish my wife had faith in me and would shut up. she
uh-oh.
Diablo is on sale on the Switch right now. Mm-hmm. Diablo 3 is on sale on the Switch.
Yep.
So
wait, isn't that the
she's
one?
Posting the link on my Facebook wall to hint that maybe somebody should buy her Diablo 3 for the Switch. It's like, bitch, I know!
Oh, that, yeah.
Yes.
Hopefully she's not listening to the podcast.
Bitch, I know! If somebody was going to buy you Diablo 3, maybe they'd take advantage of the sale. Or maybe more specifically, maybe somebody who bought Diablo 3 for the 8th fucking time a month ago would take advantage of the sale to buy it for the 9th time.
I thought you just said if you already have Diablo 3 on the Switch, you can enter this contest to get Diablo 3 on a Switch.
What?
You didn't hear about that?
No. Yeah. So Diablo 3, they had a contest so you could win the brand new Diablo 3 Switch with a canvas bag and other stuff with it.
Sure.
But
canvas bag.
An actual canvas bag? Yeah. That's what they asked. But will they leak my data?
But you had to take a picture, a selfie of you playing Diablo 3 on your Switch.
I'm not going to lie. I did think of you.
So you have to own Diablo 3 on a Switch and have a friend who doesn't, and you want to give them a copy.
Has that stopped you before?
The fuck is...
We are heading towards an inevitable future where every piece of software, every piece of hardware that is ever released comes preloaded with a version of Diablo 3 and Skyrim.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you're not going to say and Skyrim with that, then...
The logic of this contest is more confusing to me than gremlin physiology. I just want to be clear about this.
Yeah, you just have to take a picture of yourself playing Diablo 3 on your Switch to win a new Diablo 3 Switch.
I mean, I might that as well. Said, maybe I'll get it for a 10th time.
I get a third Switch.
What we could do is you could take a picture of...
Kill me now.
Nathan, you could buy Diablo 3 on the Switch, and then I could play your Switch.
Twice this month.
I could play your Switch with me playing it and take a selfie on that so I could possibly win a copy.
I mean, saying this about Skyrim, that I'm probably going to end up buying it yet again because there's a VR, PSVR version coming out, and I got a PSVR for the kids for Christmas.
And I think that's already out because I saw some posts of someone just sitting there going...
maybe, is it Skyrim? Skyrim has been out on VR.
Yeah. Skyrim VR and Borderlands 2 VR is coming out too. So.
Did you see the news on Borderlands 3?
There is news on Borderlands
3. There is news on Borderlands 3.
So on an actual Borderlands 3 because I didn't really care for the moon one.
Well,
pre-sequel is all right. The issue was that Borderlands 2 was so fucking good that all right seems bad, and that's unfortunate because it's all right. It's fun.
It's all right. It just wasn't. I mean, Borderlands 1 was a great game, and then Borderlands 2 is. Borderlands 1 was a great game, and Borderlands 2 was.
Nathan, you are amazing. You have 13 bedrooms. You may need one after that.
What did you say to your wife?
I said, I'm sorry, you're being too subtle. Can you explain further?
Oh, Jesus Christ. Nathan's sleeping in the confession booth tonight.
Can do.
So some of the news, they had released it. I'm going to give credit for it because they had the exclusive rights for it. It was the no on Rooster Teeth. So they got a source that had basically explained pretty much the most of the characters. There's four characters in Diablo.
Borderlands
3. There is the soldier, which is the kind of the standard soldier, except for he has a Titanfall mech style.
Oh, sure.
So he has a mech that drops down, gets in. That's what he does. The Siren is a melee style class. There is another ninja class, which is basically like Zero, but he leaves like a decoy that he can draw attention in that. Cool. And then
that's
interesting
because that's almost more like the Siren powers were in the other two, but whichever, yeah.
And then there is supposedly all three of those are out of beta or out of alpha. The soldier has got a tree that can do part of his tree is involving multiplayer, sure. So you can jump into a turret on his mech as a second player.
Oh, that's neat.
Mm-hmm. And then the one character that they're having troubles with right now, I guess, is the hunter, which is you can have like up to three different types of beasts with your vault hunter, and that's
like it's like little sidekicks.
Yeah, sure. Kind of like a helper, kind of like what's her name?
Like Gage.
Sure. But they're having troubles with the AI. At least that's what they said in the news report.
Wilhelm had similar things in pre-sequel because he had Wolf and I forget what the other one, but he had the two drones that flew around.
So, I mean, the fact that they've got characters pretty much already built, they're in alpha. I mean, the game itself might be past alpha. It might be running beta. We might see it probably fall next year, I'd assume.
I need to get a new video card because that is one I am absolutely playing on PC.
That one might be one of the ones that they're going to wait because, I mean, there's pretty strong hints of next-gen consoles being announced next year, so that one might be a hold for launch.
But, I mean, if you watched any of the Game Awards trailers, there were so many games on there that are biting at the heels of Borderlands. Like, I showed Jim most of those trailers, and he was like, that seems like Borderlands. Outer Worlds, it feels, just the trailer itself feels like it was written by somebody from Borderlands.
Yeah.
Oh, the guy that's doing the writing for Borderlands 3 is the same guy who does the voice of Scooter.
Oh, okay.
So it's somebody who's at least been involved with the game for some time. Because the other previous writer ended up leaving. Art direction is being done by the same folks that did, what's their failed game that I'm thinking of?
Battleborn.
Battleborn. Yeah, the art direction was good. Done by them.
What's the expiration date on Tales from the Borderlands spoilers?
When the company closed.
Okay.
No. I haven't played it all yet.
Are you gonna?
I have my PS4 with it loaded, and I'm moving my PS4 into my room.
Okay.
Is that the PS4 that works or not?
One works, one decides it's going to try to eject discs once in a while.
Correct. Which one is the one of Tales from the Borderlands on it?
I can put it on either, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I... yeah. Yeah. Brian knows where I'm going with this.
You can go ahead. I don't care.
Well, I won't give details. Loaderbot is life. I'm going to play through Tales from the Borderlands again, and I'm going to buy another fucking tuxedo for Loaderbot, because buying a tuxedo for Loaderbot is the best thing I ever did, and it cost me a certain ending, basically, because you have to have like all the money saved up to be able to buy a mercenary who helps you in the final fight, and instead I bought a goddamn tuxedo for my Loaderbot. Anyway, I won't go into details why or how or where he goes afterwards or etc., but the guy who does the voice for Scooter doesn't need to do the voice for Scooter anymore, so he had time to write this.
Oh, Scooter's gone.
Scooter isn't necessarily a main character in the series anymore. Okay. In Tales for the Borderland.
That's fine. You could have just said Scooter's dead.
I didn't say Scooter dies. He certainly doesn't die in the cold vacuum of space. A terrible, terrible death. Wait, no, that's exactly what happened. Sorry. I get those things mixed up. He sure fucking dies. Which, you know, you don't expect him to kill off Scooter in a spinoff game like that. You sure. know? Like, the sure. balls to do that. See a space cowboy. That's what I did. I put a sign up in space that says, see a space cowboy.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, you know, not on our Scooter.
Catch a ride.
Catch a ride! This is a really good scene. It's a good episode of a really good game. Fuck you for not playing through it yet. I know, Chris, I know a guy who owns almost as many copies of that fucking game as I own copies of Diablo 3, and he still hasn't played it. Because he has it on his PlayStation, and on his PC, and on his iPad, and he won't play the fucking thing.
And probably on some unclaimed Humble Bundle.
Yeah, probably on some unclaimed Humble Bundle, and he won't fucking play it. I just want to stab him with forks till he dies.
And wasn't he on your side? Oh, wait, no, he was on the other side.
What?
He was for the killing.
Yeah, that's right.
What? He wasn't part He wasn't in D&D. No, this is a different Chris.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if that Chris owns it. This is a shitty Chris I used to work with, who's really cool.
now that we can distinguish Chris's between shitty Chris and other Chris.
Yeah. Well, there's sociopathic murder talk Chris. Fucking A. Talk's great.
Hold on. I can sum this up much easier. So there's Mayville Chris. God. It's a trend, Andy. I'm sorry.
Doc had been nothing but helpful to us for the entire adventure, and just because he doesn't like dragons.
Oh, did you see what Lyle did?
He updated. Yes, I did.
His profile picture.
Yes,
it was a chili.
Yes, it's a chili. It's a picture with Nathan and I and chili.
Because Andy tagged Lyle in it, and then Lyle made it his profile picture. So Lyle was leaning in full hog to the joke.
Which I think Pagani's response was, not this again.
Oh, yeah. Isn't there another one of you called Lyle?
Oh.
Yeah. Whatever guy at War Machine Weekend said that to Chili. Is your name Lyle? No. Isn't there another one of you called Lyle?
Well, the first one was Jeremy.
Well, yeah, where Jeremy asked Lyle where Lyle was because he thought he was talking to Chili. But that's now the second most casual racist thing after the guy who said the phrase, isn't there another one of you called Lyle?
God, I shouldn't be laughing at this, but it is.
I mean, certainly by another one of you, he meant helpful privateer press related. Because he was wearing his judge shirt. It had, like, the PP logo and everything. True. Chili was. So the guy assumedly thought he was a staffer, and he just meant another staffer. He would have said the same thing to Pagani or Hungerford or Sheck, obviously. It wasn't because they're both Asians.
I didn't.
It's funny because society's terrible.
Yep.
There are so many jokes. There are so many Brian quotes. I'm not going to say any of them because we're close to a copyright strike the way it is.
Yes.
So sign up for more Mogwaiaside.com.
Mogwaiaside.com. It's .org.
If you need a free hosting, I can set you up for it.
I'm almost tempted.
Did you buy it?
I'm thinking about it.
Well, you should do it soon.
Before someone else jumps on that hot Maguire side.
Now you just make me want to actually register and implement Scumbag Deadpool.
We should. Unfortunately, people keep guessing right. So this was in a group chat like 9 months ago. We randomly came up with this idea for the Scumbag Deadpool and started betting on who is the next person to get busted doing something skeezy. And then 3 days later, Matt Lauer.
Didn't Jake have Matt Lauer?
Did anybody have Neil deGrasse Tyson?
Yes.
The number of memes I've seen with the "watch out, we got a sexual predator over here." Or there's one where he's got his hands up and he's got the wine in one hand and a cheese plate in the other. And he's like, "Watch out, we got a special Native American handshake here." Like, I love memes so much because they are brave and brilliant. It's like haikus where you're working within a limitation. And mm-hmm. So when you successfully do something within that limitation, it's admirable and beautiful in art. It's funny because he sexually assaulted women. Oh, wait, no, you're right. That's not funny.
It's not funny. I couldn't shake my head hard enough.
Oh, my Lord.
I saw that I have a link that's on War Machine Hordes General.
Is this a topic change?
I'm trying to get the Zappity Grumbles, but I don't think we have any.
We have the one from Jim on our Facebook.
Jim, just repost your question.
I saw it. It was something like, it was two questions, and one of them was, which do you like better, science fiction or science fantasy? So that's basically Star Trek versus Star Wars.
But genre.
That's right. Actually kind of good.
I
like Star Wars more. The only reason why is I hate having things being explained to me for the sake of explaining things, and that's kind of what Star Trek does a lot of.
I don't know. I work.
I like being able to just pick up a sword, and it's just a laser sword. I don't need to know that there's a crystal inside of it that's powered up by the other things, and that's how that sword works. Because that's how Star Trek would do, is they would introduce...
That's how Star Wars does do. Yeah. I mean, the crystal in those things is a massive plot point that's discussed in several films and all the books. But I get your point, it was just a hilarious example of your point.
No, but I'm saying, like, generally in most of the, they don't really...
In the original Star Wars films, they don't go into it. They sure do later.
Yeah, correct. Like, they didn't really explain what the Force was. It was just
midichlorians later.
Correct. But so, I mean, like, Star Trek, though, will go into full detail explaining how this robot came to be, everything about this robot, and then it will die in that episode.
Right.
So maybe I'll buck the trend a little bit here, but I'm so I work in AI as my research as my primary research area, and I know a little bit about physics, and so putting those together is that basically any science fiction that is reasonably far future and realistic, it was just going to be boring because leaving Earth requires so much energy that it's unlikely to happen. And
we do it all the time.
Well, but I mean, leaving the solar system.
Oh, okay, that's
requires,
very different.
Yeah, requires so much.
That's very energy. Different than just leaving Earth. I mean, like that we provably can do
and,
quite simply.
Yeah, and there's this whole thing that it's like if you had a spacefaring civilization that shows up on Earth, because of how much energy it takes to cross the star to travel from stars to stars, they would literally destroy the planet if they forgot to put on the parking brake.
Well, no, I mean that assumes the energy is always at full thrust or whatever. Like you can coast in space quite well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, so you can do a bunch of force to get going, and then that energy has been expelled, and then the lack of resistance means that your momentum is continued.
Yeah, but then you
that
need,
energy
but then you need a,
isn't then,
then
brought
you need
forward.
A, then you need the same amount of energy to slow down.
Sure.
Because, yeah, you still have...
You could just hit something.
Yeah.
Well, his point was, slow you down, too.
So,
slow you down once.
But... If you have that exact same amount of momentum, you will do like the Last Jedi, you know, hyperspace through the capital ship. Sure. So just, you know, don't stop. Like,
yeah, but I mean, stopping requires the same amount of energy that it takes to get going.
Okay. And
So then the amount of energy you're talking about to get a spaceship from say Betelgeuse to here,
right?
The energy to start it up and then having that energy to start over.
Doesn't sound like much energy at all.
If you have anywhere near that amount, that you could trivially vaporize Earth with.
You could, mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
And?
I'm just saying that
If I have enough gas to drive to someone's house, I have enough gas to burn their house down. I don't understand how those are related, though.
Because it means
only if it's a Topper's pizza.
Because most of the stories in science fiction about conflict between alien races, because of the energy cost of traveling between star systems, it's the orders of magnitude of the depiction of the transport technology versus military technology is so far off that it breaks immersion.
Right. So I mean that assumes that technology is always blanket across the whole thing. Like, just because they've discovered interstellar flight and good engines doesn't mean they've discovered good guns. Also, just because they can destroy Earth doesn't mean they want to, especially if they want to harvest things as opposed to just blowing up a planet pointlessly.
Right. So if you could generate that much, it seems difficult to be able to harness that much energy without being able to do whatever you want at home.
So, to summarize, science fiction may have a better story. Science fantasy is better entertainment.
Yes.
Also, who said science fiction is about aliens traveling to different dimensions?
I'm just using that as an example.
For example, I was going to go with the science fiction because I like The Andromeda Strain, movie about staring at Petri dishes for 3 hours.
No. Okay, I mean, near future science fiction is one thing. The other thing is that, as I said, I worked in AI, and at some point, there aren't going to be any jobs, and we're just going to have robots doing everything, and so everybody's going to be in a garage band and spend all of their time working on video games. And whether or not you decide that's dystopian or not is up to you, but I mean, it's just the future just seems really boring to write
stories
about.
I've seen a lot of people try and make music. That's horrendous.
I mean, that's kind of where we're going, is garage bands, video games, and opiates.
No, I want my giant ship with the floating chairs going around that carry me to go everywhere.
I'm saying, just because people have enough energy to pilot a ship from Alpha Centauri to here doesn't mean that they know how to convert that energy into potable water.
Wait, are
there aliens from science?
I mean, well, I was thinking more Bio of a Space Tyrant or The Expanse, or one of those ones where I think it's Expanse where they're harvesting water from asteroids, right? No, that was the Space Mexicans one by Martin, that George R. R. Martin did. Which, do you remember what that one was called?
Night Flyers?
I don't know. No. Jim's a big fan of it, but Jim and Brian, I know, read it because they liked it a lot. But it was they send people into space to find more water, off of asteroids and stuff like that. That
might be Night Flyers.
Maybe. I don't know.
Because it's one of his early books. And I know that's a sci-fi show that's out right now.
Yeah. Oh, is it based on the same thing? I thought you were just saying that name because it was a sci-fi show that just came out.
There's a sci-fi show that just came out called Night Flyers.
But is that related to the George R. R. Martin book?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
But the point is, I understand your point that you have a fuck ton of energy, which means you can do a fuck ton of stuff. But the story then, the onus is on the story to explain why the energy can't just be put to that end.
Everything I've seen of that comes out to be a contrivance.
Sure.
That's my rejection of...
Right, so those are all science fantasy.
Yeah.
So, those are pretending to be science fiction, but they're not. They're science fantasy.
Yeah. So that's why I'm saying I prefer science fantasy because the
But you just said you hated it!
No. I was. I said I didn't care for
the whole fiction. The whole thing. It seemed like you were. I was gonna say is you were in complete agreement with me. Is you just like shit that just goes.
Yeah.
And I don't want to hear about it.
Yeah, trying to describe how space opera works within our understanding of physics and artificial intelligence. It's just it has a contrivance for there to be conflict that's meaningful because as best as we understand physics and AI, if you're trying to build a hard science fiction story around it, it's not going to be terribly interesting. So yes, I like science fantasy.
You described a thing you hated. You said that thing was science fantasy, and then you said that means that you like science fantasy. I'm so confused.
Catch a ride. Nathan, how do magnets work?
JJ's kids look just like JJ, and my kids look just like JJ. God, that SNL parody was great.
I don't like science fiction. I don't like science nonfiction.
I love science nonfiction.
That's my day job.
Yeah. Well, it depends. I like math nonfiction. There's the ant on the rubber rope I talked about last episode. That stuff's fascinating to me.
And that was one time I was playing Pandemic, and I realized that I actually wrote a paper about an algorithm that solves the same problem.
Can you touch something? Like, that's a fascinating question.
Mm-hmm.
You're not touching me. There's definitely atoms between you and I. Like, what constitutes touching, right? Like, you're pushing on some subatomic... Whoa. You're arousing me, so that's emotionally touching. But the concept of contact... Still counts. Like, fair enough.
I mean, that's also an
interesting... Can you touch my genitals? That's an interesting question.
Now I'm going to have to be.
That's where my genitals are.
Star Trek, all over again. Going to have to go second grade teacher here. Can you touch your genitals or may you?
Both. You may. It's up to physics whether you can, but you definitely may.
Of course, the next step of that is that if you're talking about the way particles operate at that level and saying whether or not you can really touch something or not. The next question is, are you one contiguous thing?
Right. Yeah. Or are you a confederation of cellular independent states?
Or just loosely attached molecules?
Would a Mogwai sitting in a very humid room touch himself? Would that cause him to start?
Right. Again, yeah. So if he's sitting in like a sauna and he dumps some water on the rocks and it just steams.
Yeah.
So is what happens to a Mogwai different if you boil it or you saute it?
Well, you don't want to boil it because it's wet.
Right.
I mean, but then that brings up the question of, does oil get one wet?
Yeah, what happens if you try to saute a Mogwai?
I would say
or deep fry.
Yes. Well, I think oil makes you wet. Yeah.
I want a picture of Nathan with a hat like that and the t-shirt that just says, I think oil makes you wet.
Well, you know. And yes, you may touch my genitals.
And they'll be in the back of the shirt.
All right, I'm getting on Zazzle. Contact whoever it was that drew that picture of Jeremy.
I think it was the guy who did the original Zappy Grumble stuff.
Yeah. Jesus.
So then Jim asks, the other part of the question is, what makes a good binge show? I mean, that basically goes into our recommendations. We talk about recommendations all the time, and that's basically usually good binge stuff.
Some of it, yeah.
But or a really good narrator, so that you don't have to pay attention, but they just sound relaxing. Mm-hmm. So anything with David Attenborough or Peter Coyote.
Or the guy who does Forensic Files.
Well, he's dead, so good luck with that.
He's dead, but there's a lot of Forensic Files that you can binge.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Some really good, like, fairly solid good storytelling with a lot of good science. For the time.
There's some new show out that's basically Forensic Files, but it's always a spouse murdering their spouse. It's spoilers.
There's a...
Like, the entire concept of the show is just a giant spoiler.
Spouse murder?
Yeah, it's just stories about a spouse killing their spouse.
There's a...
Is that Spouse Wars?
Maybe.
It's a show that's also running, too. It's called, How It Really Happened.
The O.J. Simpson story?
Well, but they've been talking...
The third ending to Clue?
No. But How It Really Happened was like a... they were going over the Unabomber and kind of step by step of how everything came into place when he was finally ended up being caught.
12 or fewer hours and a contiguous story.
Yeah.
That's my answer to the original question. 12 or fewer hours. So, you know.
Most British shows, then.
Yeah, yeah. Or like the new season of MST3K, The Gauntlet, was doable in one, but last season was 28 hours, so it was not doable in one, in my mind. I guess it wasn't 28, because it was 14 episodes, but they're actually only 90 minutes each, so it would have been 21 hours, but still. 12 or few hours, contiguous storyline.
Yep.
Although, No, so I guess the elimination-style game shows like Great British Baking Show is a contiguous storyline because the elimination itself makes it an ongoing thing. But, like, I wouldn't binge, like, a new season of just some sitcom that has random unrelated, like, Friends or something, right? Fuck it.
Yeah.
That's a I wouldn't, piece and takes time to digest in between each episode.
Right.
Or drink and forget.
Wouldn't binge a new season of Always Sunny.
I thought that's because of depression. Oh, speaking of which, would you binge a season of BoJack?
I did this most recent one. I went to a friend's house so we could binge it together and hold hands during episode 11 to make sure neither of us killed ourselves. This was the least overtly depressing episode 11, but man, the thing that happened was really bad. Really bad.
I still don't know why people try to convince me to watch the show that everything people say that is remarkable about is how depressing and terrible.
Only episode 11. Every season is 12 episodes long, and there's ups and downs within them like every drama has, but in every single season, episode 11 is the low point. Every story always has to have a low point before the finale, right? The darkest moment before the dawn, and so the second to last episode of every season of BoJack is really fucking brutal.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
like
I've only seen I think the first two seasons, and I have not seen. This is the fourth season that's out, right?
Yes.
But yeah. All right. So we should jump to recommendations.
Did anybody have counter definitions for a bingeable show?
I just don't binge watch television, so I don't really have a comment.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
It angers them because any show that has enough energy to have 12 episodes has enough energy to be viewed over a course of time.
Clearly.
I don't know what I meant. There's a callback, technically.
It feels like a Degrassi Tyson meme.
Watch out. We got an abuse of power over here.
Yeah.
I will.
The frustrating thing is I guarantee he legit doesn't understand that anything he did was wrong. And that's the problem. Is
I think he understands.
He's a nerdy guy trying to be nice to a girl he thought was cute, right? But there's power dynamics there, and so that taints things. And you can't just be friends. Like, hey, my chauffeur was really nice to me all the time. Yeah, it's her fucking job. That doesn't mean she wants your D. But there's a disconnect, right? And that's the issue. That's always the issue with these things. It's not like he was pulling a Harvey Weinstein where he's like, if you blow me, I'll give you a better job. He legit thought. It's like the guys who think the waitress at Hooters is legit flirting with them.
Correct.
No, she isn't, buddy.
She wants a better tip.
Back off.
She wants a tip.
She doesn't want your tip. She wants a tip.
Correct. Yeah. She's not interested. Don't ask for her phone number. Just fucking back off. Also, why'd you go to Hooters, you creepy guy? Let it die. But I recommend Always Sunny in Philadelphia, which has been recommended many, 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 many times before by people on this podcast because it's a great show, but it just came up and it reminded me of, holy shit, the last 5 minutes of this most recent season is the bravest thing I've ever seen a TV show do in a long, long time.
TV show.
Do was in my head already, so I said show with the sound of do.
Yeah,
see a TV show do. Like, Mac getting fat for a season was amazing, you know, and then getting put. Fucking A. Your stupid, dumb, dick and fart asshole jokes sitcom, you have a climactic, like, 7 minute long interpretive dance sequence that's completely straight faced and emotionally poignant about homosexuality and absentee fathers. Like, where the fuck did that come from?
Yeah.
Damn, that's a good bingo card.
Right? Like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Like, this and last, not a joke. No punchline.
No.
No punchline.
Nope.
Just straight faced. Like, if I told you Always Sunny in Philadelphia had an interpretive dance sequence about being gay, you would not think it would be an emotionally poignant, straight faced, honest, artistic expression.
I mean, that being said, I can't take anything involving Danny DeVito to be a straight faced, artistic impression.
No, but he was really good in that, too.
Oh, he's not one of the dancers, but he is one of the important characters in the sequence.
Yeah. Sure. But like I said, that's just a general statement. It wasn't an Always Sunny thing. It's just a general thing.
Sure. Yeah, that's fine.
If you would have said that, I would have immediately thought of High School Reunion.
Yeah.
The whole interpretive dance sequence in that one was... That's amazing. Because I love what they show in their minds and then what's actually happening. And that's kind of what you expected out of this one. Is you expected that to be what's in their minds, but it's just a really really very powerful sequence.
And a very good interpretive dance to as well. Like the symbolism is digestible, but artistically vague. You know, I think the female dancer represents God, and that break point in the middle when she goes and lifts her foot up was like God's going to smite him, but then embraces him instead because he accepts who he is. It's a good fucking scene.
Yeah, who would have thought?
Who would have thought?
Like, who would have thought about it from the gang guts racist to that?
Well, and I guarantee they'll never do something like this again, right? It has to be a one and done. Here's us showing that we can actually. Like, here's Robert McElroy.
Yes.
I know I'm saying it wrong, but the point is, here's him showing I can actually do artistic things if I want to.
Sure.
But next season, we're just going to be back to being shitheads and pissing on people.
Yeah.
I mean, they also could start the season with something referencing that and then move back to normal.
Yes, exactly.
Like, that is the only way they could reference it again.
McElroy.
So I will recommend the relationship subreddit on Reddit because if any time you want to have an understanding of how good your life is, just start reading random questions on that forum.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It reminds me, one of the many reasons I'm so happy I'm married is because dating sucks.
Yeah.
Even when people are sane.
Yeah.
And the people on that forum are not sane.
No.
So Chad is asking, is the season that ends with Dennis shutting off the lights and walking out of the bar? It's basically the last season after that. Yeah. Because
Dennis left in season 12, right?
Well, he technically was going to leave, but he came back for the season.
Okay.
He originally was going to be gone and they were going to continue on, but he's the whole season, this season is making fun of that.
Was it? Right, but is this the... Because I thought the dance was the season finale last scene.
Yes, correct.
So it was season 12 that ended with Dennis shutting off the light.
I don't know what season.
This one that just ended was 13.
13, okay.
So the previous season ended with Dennis shutting off the light and leaving the bar. Because he was going to be off the show because he was doing AP Bio and stuff like that.
And that, yeah, it's...
And I think he's still, like... I don't think he's in every episode in 13. He almost does, like, guest stars and stuff.
He's in just about every single one. Okay. Yeah. Even the episode where he's technically not in it, he's in it.
Fair.
My recommendation is you should get Celeste for your Switch because it's on sale and it is an amazing game. It's made by the folks they brought to Towerfall. Towerfall something. The little multiplayer shooter game.
Towerfall, yeah.
Towerfall Ascension?
Ascension.
Yep.
Celeste is a good game.
Yep. It's a very, very cute little game. I thought of buying that before I bought Super Smash Bros. Ultimate because I'm very bad at that game. I'm not very good at Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. In fact, if anybody wants to buy my copy, I have one for sale.
Intriguing.
Maybe Dan will buy your copy and I'll buy Brian's copy and everyone will be happy.
Yeah, that'd be great.
We'll talk.
All right, awesome.
My recommendation, I think I pre-recommended it, but I'm now far enough along in it that I'm going to actually recommend it. The Red Dead Redemption 2, which is amazing. It is enjoyable.
You mean Red Dead Revolver 3?
Whatever.
It's Redemption 2, which is a sequel to 1.
Yes.
Or prequel to 1.
Correct. Like just the
whole numbering system is all fucked up with that game.
I mean, we're nerds. We've already proven many times we can't count.
Yeah.
4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3 have not been made. But anyways, yeah. And just the little random details in Red Dead, like you can like tie some up and throw them in a rowboat and then shoot holes in the rowboat and have it and flood.
Why would you do such a thing?
Probably because it's like the achievement in Red Dead Redemption 1 where you hit someone on a train with a train.
My favorite thing with Red Dead Redemption 2, Red Dead Revolver 3, Red Dead Retribution 1 is that you don't lose any honor for murdering the KKK.
That was an enjoyable sequence. When I just randomly ran across it, mostly the part when the Grand Wizard lit himself on fire and then I just shot the rest of them. I'm like, I was already angry at you, but then you're incompetent.
The racism's bad enough, but your incompetence is what really set me off. That's a bridge too far.
I mean, I was already moving in. Then I watched what was happening. I'm like, now you just...
So mechanically, the game has clansmen in it, but it doesn't consider them to be people.
It does not consider it a dishonorable act to murder them.
Yes, it treats them the same as any other gang members, where your honor level will not go up or down by fighting them.
Yeah, they're a random encounter that you are free to dynamite.
Very cool. I need to get further in that game because I am not very far. All right.
I have many, many Dutch jokes to use on you, but you're not far enough for most of them.
We're going to do a Dutch rudder?
No.
If we do the Dutch rudder, I think there's a baby crying next door. Either that or the apocalypse. I'm not certain which.
I'm not carrying it with me.
Okay. The apocalypse or the baby?
The baby.
Oh, okay.
Death Stranding callback.
Yes.
All right, I'm going to stop this.
I mean, if it's the apocalypse, it's well ahead of schedule.
Is it?
It's long past due.
Actually, so Nathan, I do have a question for you.
Yeah.
Are you wondering if at any point that this is just someone trying to set a world record for the aristocrats joke?
Oh, well, now it is. We're getting there.